Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Very well.
I am Father Franklin Michael from belong to the Order of Servants of Charity, belong to the Religious Order of Servants of Charity. I am from India and I am in St. Louis Center. How many of you know St. Louis Center in Michigan, not in Missouri? St. Louis Center in Michigan. It is located between Grass Lake and Chelsea in Arbor on Old Year's 12. That's where I am from. But I'm here on behalf of Servants of Charity for a mission appeal, okay? So once I'm done, you better keep your wallet and checkbook ready, okay? All right, I'm just kidding. All right, before I go for a mission preaching, I just would like to share something about today's readings, and then I will go preach about the Servants of Charity, or share with you about Servants of Charity. So we're looking at today's first reading in the Gospel. One thing is very clear. I just would like to share with you a nice story or incident, whatever you want to call it. There was a Jewish rabbi in the Roman prison. Okay? There was a Jewish rabbi in where? I'm going to ask you. You better be away. I'm just kidding. Okay? In Roman prison. And this Jewish rabbi was given everything, whatever he needs, the water, the food, the other things, whatever he was in need, it was provided. There was nothing that lacked, okay? So, after maybe a couple of weeks, the Jewish rabbi fell ill or became sick. Don't know why, because he was given everything, whatever he was in need. And so he was taken to the doctor, and the doctor examined him, and he says he is sick because of his dehydration. And so they said, no, there is no way that he could be sick because of his dehydration, because we gave him the water, we gave him food, we gave him even extra sometimes. There was no way. So what they did, now they put a guard next to the jail gate, and so they asked him to watch what he's doing with those things that was provided. And so to their surprise, the Jewish rabbi spent most of the water in following the rituals, then drinking the water. And now do you understand why he was dehydrated? Right? This is what happens oftentimes. We so much worry about the external, but internal, we are least bothered about it. What do I mean by? For example, today's gospel, Jesus nicely gives us an example saying, you take care of the dishes outside. Imagine a situation. You take care of the dishes outside, okay? You eat in a bowl, okay? You eat in a small plate and wash the outside of the dish and put it in a cupboard. And the next day, how many of you would like to take the same dish and fill it with the food and eat it? How many of you would do it? I see some hands there. Do you understand what I asked for? What was my question? Wash the dish outside. Don't wash inside. Don't even rinse it. Put it on your cupboard. Put it on your shelf. The following day, take it. And how many of you would use that dish for your lunch or dinner? That is gross, right? Today's first sitting beautifully says, what a privileged people we are. We have God among us. We have God with us. In the communion, in the Eucharist, God comes to us. What a privilege we are. How many of us enjoy this privilege? Right? Oftentimes, we just take it for granted. The Eucharistic presence, we just take it for granted. Yeah, I go to church, I receive the communion. Yeah, but how much privilege we are to have God in our midst and who comes to us every Eucharistic meal. And my dear brothers and sisters, the final message of today's reading in the Gospel is this. Oftentimes, we are worried externally, but not worried internally. The Church has given us all these sacraments and sacramentals to take care of our internal self for the salvation. Therefore, let us pray and thank God for all these sacraments, and let us utilize them to prepare our internal self for the external glory. Amen. Okay, now I am going to share with you about the Servants of Charity and the mission. All right? Okay. Let me see 10 minutes, okay? If I'm going more than 10 minutes, put up your hand. I will understand that I'm going over 10 minutes. Servants of Charity, okay, it is a religious order found by St. Louis Guanella. St. Louis Guanella was an Italian priest. He was born on a high mountain of the Alps. His name, his small town was called Fraciccio. It's in northern Italy. And it's Como Lake is a very big lake. It's a beautiful lake, by the way. So he was born from there. As a mountaineer, he was a hard man. Whatever he wanted to do it no matter what. What did he do? Once he became a priest, okay, once he was ordained a priest, he was born in 1842 and he was ordained a priest in 1866. And once he became a priest, his passion was always toward the people who were rejected by the community. He wanted to make sure to bring those people who were rejected to the community and make sure to take care of them, teach them catechism, teach them the church teachings, love them with an unconditional love. That was his passion. That was he was doing. And oftentimes, his concentration always was the IDD people, intellectually developmentally disabled people, was his focus all most of the time, because they were the one who were always rejected and marginalized. And at that time, during his time, it's 1842, if you kindly remember the Italy and the situation, there was a lot of group who were trying to unify Italy under Garibaldini and all other major events, who were trying to have a civil war and all the stuff there. And so he would write against all those things, saying, okay, this is need to happen. War. People are important. Do not kill people with a war, all those things. And so he was punished, penalized all the time. He would be transferred from one place to other all the time. But he never stopped what he was doing. Okay, to continue his mission, he founded two congregations. One is Servants of Charity for men. The other one is Daughters of St. Mary of Providence for women. And Servants of Charity and Daughters of St. Mary of Providence are present in almost 22 countries around the world and doing the same mission that founder envisioned, which is taking care of the intellectually developmentally disabled children, adults, and sometimes some places we have schools, orphanages for orphan boys and girls, and elderly homes as well. In other words, senior citizen homes as well. You can understand me, right? Okay, my accent is not different than yours, right? I knew it. Little bit, maybe a little hard. Okay, so as a servant of charity, how do I embrace this mission? That's always my passionate sharing about how I embrace this mission. As a young seminarian, I joined the Servants of Charity without knowing what it is. Okay, I know by Come and See program something, and then I joined the Servants of Charity, I became a priest, and then I was sent to rural villages to bring an awareness. What kind of awareness? This is the highlight is this. Back in India, in my hometown and surroundings, the traditional, the cultural thinking goes back is this. If you have a son or a daughter with IDD, okay, with the intellectual disabilities or special needs that we call it, which means that family is cursed by God. Okay? That's why God has given you this deformed child. That's how they call it. That's why God has given you this deformed child, because your family is cursed. Now, we had two responsibilities at the time. The first responsibility is to break this barrier, saying, okay, they are not a curse from God. That's number one. And number two, they should not be hidden or left in isolated place. They should be brought in front, okay? And they should be taken care of by everybody. So those were two awareness that we were trying to bring in. We do have a lot of daycare centers for the IDD children. Now they are all almost residential programs back in India. One example I'd like to share is, so we know in a family there was an IDD boy. He was almost 3 to 4 years old. And we talked to the parents and they said, no, we don't have any in our family. If they are going to expose the son, which is going to be a curse from God, the families and neighbors, they are going to understand it, right? So they didn't want to expose him. So they put him in the family, in the corner. They hid him all the time. And now we were trying to approach the family and ask whether he had it. And they said no. And so we asked again, they said no. And so what we did, okay, we want to make sure that we are right, right? How many of you want to prove yourself that you are right all the time? Thank you for the, thank you. We all have this attitude, by the way, right? I want to prove that I'm right all the time, no matter what, okay? So it's a nature, right, as a human being. So we want to prove ourselves is right. So what we did, don't do it, what I'm going to tell you. So we, once the mom and dad went to work, we went to that family, okay? We usually take a van and bring the children to our daycare center. And so we went, we stopped the van a couple of blocks away. So we walked, we looked around the house, we couldn't find the boy. And so we jumped inside their fence. Here, if you do it, they will call 911 immediately, okay? So we jumped inside, we looked around the house, we couldn't find it. So we hear a strange noise from somewhere. And so there's a boy. Next to their house, there's a small hut. That's for the goats, okay, for the goats. And so when the mom and dad, they went to work, they took the goats to the grazing, all those things. And the small goats were playing in the small hut. And so the boy was playing with them. And once we saw it, we said, okay, we are going to take him. We just opened the gate, we went in, we took the boy, we took him to our daycare center. And so we kind of gave him what is essential for day one. And so we made sure to bring him back before mom and dad got back home. And we left him home, we left him the same place where we picked him up and we ran away, okay? And so day two, the same thing, day three, the same thing, and day four, the same thing we were trying to do. We took the boy, we were walking outside. Here is the thing, okay? The mom usually observes any changes in their children. Am I right or wrong? Right? Most of the time, the mom usually observes any changes in their sons and daughters. The same thing happened here. So the mom observes some changes, and so here it happens. So we bring the boy outside, and the mom stands there and says, leave the boy here and you get out of my property. And we were trying, no, we are trying to do good. Leave him here, get out of my property now. We tried to talk to her, argue, blah, 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 all those things. And then finally, we were able to convince her, saying, okay, your son will be able to do 1, 2, and 3. Can speak at least some words, because so he has never spoken anything. Can walk with his two legs and straight, because he just like he would just like run like a goat or just walk on his knees. That's what he did, because they did not take so much courage. And so we promised all those things, and so we were able to do all those things, achieve all those things. He's a fine boy as of now. As the servants of charity, what I'm trying to tell you is we don't go and find the boys in the goat shed all the time. But if we had to, I don't mind. And we don't mind, okay? Because that is our calling. That's what we strongly believe. As the servants of charity, that is our calling. We are called to take care of the intellectually developmentally disabled children and adults, no matter what. The thing here is, so all over the world, that's what we are doing. In United States and in some other places, what's going on as of today is there is a big question among the IDD parents. Who will take care of my beloved once I am gone? Okay, so far, before they never outlived their parents. But as of now, they begin to outlive their parents because of the medical advancement, all those things. So there is a big struggle among the parents. Who will take care of my IDD son or a daughter once I am gone? Because I don't want to pass this burden to my siblings because they already have a lot to deal with, right? I don't want to put this one on them because they have to deal with it. So kind of, and to them, as a servants of charity, we would like to tell them, and we did tell them, and we do tell them that we are here for your beloved one. We will take care of them. And with that promise, I would like to ask you 3 things today. How many?
3 things.
The first thing is this, okay. Please pray. Okay, please pray for all the IDD and then the servants of charity and daughters of St. Mary of Providence, sisters and priests and brothers and all those who serve the IDD population, okay? And the second one is this. I am sure you will encounter them in your shopping markets or in your walking aroundings, okay, in your surroundings. You will encounter the IDD population, anybody, male or female, whoever it is. Don't look down on them, okay? That's my second humble and strong request is this. Please don't look down on them because they don't know to think like you and me. They don't know how to think like you and me. We have all things, but they only know to think in straight lines. They don't have crossbars. So please don't look down on them. Give them a smile. Give them a high five. And the third request, to continue the mission and to grow and to take care of more of IDD population around the world by servants of charity, would like to request you your monetary help. Okay? Not only for servants of charity, even if you look somebody else who is trying to serve, what you can do? You can do monetary service or your voluntary service. Okay? Those are my three requests. What is first?
Pray.
Two, don't look down on them. Give them a smile. Give them a high five. Number three, your help. Either you be a volunteer or your monetary help will be highly appreciated. Thank you so much and God bless you all. Amen.